I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1. Download Rocket Money. Step 2. Link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3. Create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to fitness trainer, podcaster, and actor Mark Harley. My favorite part of his interview was talking about the good old high school wrestling days. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome, on the first time on the podcast, fitness trainer, actor, and podcaster, Mark Harley. Did I say your name right?
Yes, you did.
Holy smokes, thanks for coming.
Yeah, of course. And yeah. I was bracing for it because I don't want to have to correct people about my name, but somebody did that recently, like introduced me that I'd met before, and they're like, Mark Healy. And I'm like, it's Harley for the video.
It's Harley. Yeah, yeah. Harley.
They're like, I don't care, but I. Yeah. It's like, you might not want to have those comments in your thing, like, His name's Harley.
I think you're our first fitness trainer. So this is a historical night.
Right.
We've never had a fitness trainer.
Yeah.
And how do we meet again?
Well, we met in the green room at the HaHa. Yeah.
And you're just hanging out with the boys. Brandon was there, Chappelle was in there.
Yeah.
David Lucas, the boys are crammed in there.
Right. It's a very small green room for a lot of big boys.
Yeah. And we just kind of were shooting the shit because I was looking at your muscles and and I was like, hey man, like, how do you get your body to look like that?
Yeah. Which is a long conversation, but I love when people engage with me like that.
Oh,
well, really? Seriously,
are they intimidated? Like, I don't care. I'll just go in there.
I guess some people could be. No. What I'm saying is, you know, I love having these sort of like neutral things about yourself, like if you have an interesting piercing or something like that, people would be like, hey, you're piercing.
Right.
It's almost like my body is like that, and it's a gateway into a conversation.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you know, we wouldn't have had this extensive conversation. I'm sure we would have been cordial.
But we went in deep.
Right, because then
about
it gets,
diet?
Yes.
You told me about a Greek yogurt that contained protein.
Yes.
What was it called? What was that thing you
said? Well, the brand that I use is Fage Greek yogurt, but it has a surprisingly high amount of protein.
How do you spell that, man? No, I need to take notes.
F-A-G-E. And this is one of these special recipes that I have, like one of my own personal diet hacks. I use Fage Greek yogurt. I put Magic Spoon protein cereal in it, peanut butter powder, and like frozen blueberries, and some Splenda to make it sweet. And it kind of like is like a fake high protein frozen yogurt.
Right.
Because it's really about textures when you're eating, you know?
Right. And you could buy that at Ralph's or Vons or anything.
Absolutely. Yeah. Not Magic Spoon. You have to order that online, actually.
You do.
Yeah. Some of these like, it's kind of a new fad is like high protein cereals.
Right.
Now it's expensive. It's like $7 a box and you have it delivered. But because you're only, I measure it out. So it's not like you're eating Cinnamon Toast Crunch and just having bowl after bowl.
That's horrible for you.
It really is.
You're just eating sugar, right? When you eat
correct.
That.
It's not good. And I love Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
It tastes so damn good.
Yeah. But like that, to me, diet is all about being like, here's this thing that you like. Now you can have this. It's not maybe quite as good, but if you're not eating Cinnamon Toast Crunch every day, that high protein substitute, because there are like high protein cinnamon toast cereals.
Substitutes.
Yeah.
Is oatmeal like, a better option? Like just regular oatmeal or no?
Yes. And you can also get there's now like protein oatmeal. Probably the most important underlying thing, if you're trying to lose body fat, having protein with every meal is just one of those basic foundational things that it will make you full. Like, and oatmeal is also a good carbohydrate typically. And they've studied this. This versus other breakfast foods, it'll fill you up more and make you less hungry throughout the day.
Right. Because what about like a hard-boiled egg or something like that?
I think eggs are great because you combine protein and fat. Really, what we get in trouble is when you have sugars and fats together.
So you need protein and fat, not sugar.
Protein
and fat.
And fat and protein and carbs. Like if you were to eat, for example, like a protein shake and a rice cake or something like that. Or, you know, you could even add like one little hack is like protein powder in a Gatorade. Like take vanilla protein and put it into like a lemon lime Gatorade. It actually tastes pretty good.
Really?
And you can like put a scoop in and funnel it in and like just shake it right there.
So where do I get this protein powder? In a Gatorade? Yeah. Like a regular Gatorade?
What I'm saying is you would get the protein powder and then take like a piece of paper and turn it into like a funnel. You know, like you'd like fold it into a cone, scoop it in there, put the cap back on and shake it.
Did you come up with that? You were just experimenting?
Yeah.
That's your invention.
This is stuff that...
Yeah. Because you come
not,
up with
I'm
your
not
own...
the only person who does it, but it's like you just kind of go, oh, can I put protein in this?
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah. I asked you quite a bit about me because I know I can't get that thick.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get, like, you know how Bruce Lee was cut back in his prime?
Nor would you want to get as big as me, per se, right?
No, I wanted to get cut. Like, you know how Bruce Lee was, like, when he was filming Enter the Dragon?
Yes, he has an amazing physique. And a big part of that was just the fact that he's super lean.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize, like, if I dropped 10 pounds of fat right now, I would probably look bigger because my muscles would be more prominent, right?
Yeah.
Like, you would see more definition in my muscles. So the average person goes, look how buff that person is. But really what they're describing is being ripped.
Right.
When you see a ripped person... Like, when I'm leaner and I have more, like, veins and stuff, people go, you must be really strong.
I really envy. This is what I envy. This is what stood out to me. I was looking at this.
The bicep vein.
Yeah, all this, and I'm like, how do you,
that's
really alpha.
Most guys really want to be lean at the end of the day.
I just
want
to be cut.
Yeah.
Now, can I get in somewhat shape where I don't have to go to the gym? Because I have a bar over there with some weight. Like, I don't have that many weights, but I have a bar.
You can accomplish tremendous things without going to the gym.
In here.
Correct. I would say the only piece of equipment...
Do I need a pull-up bar? Or?
A pull-up bar would go a long way.
Okay,
but also, like, if you don't want to be limited to pull-ups, because those are difficult for most people to start. I don't know how many... Can you do any pull-ups?
Well, I used to wrestle in wrestling. During wrestling, I mean, this was in the 90s, but, like, that was mandatory.
Yeah.
It was
so
like,
I'm sure you could do a bunch.
Back then, I could. Yeah. I could probably do, like, three now.
Right. So another... Either, to start off with, people would get... You get a pull-up bar and then, like, assistance bands, which you, like, tie over the bar. And then you put your foot in. So it gives you, like, help up. So you can do the 10 reps or whatever.
Yeah.
Another thing would be they sell on Amazon, like, these U-shaped bars that come in pairs that are, like, this big. And so what you can do on these is dips. And then also...
Oh, I love dips.
Put your feet on the ground and do body weight rows.
Yeah.
If you can picture that. Like, I'm, you know, imagine you put your feet in here and I'm kind of, like, I have my butt on the ground and I'm reaching up and pulling myself up. So it's like the motion of a pull-up, but you're not vertical.
Right.
You're horizontal, pulling yourself up into the bars. which works the same muscles basically, but you can do more because it's a different angle. So you can do like, if you can do 5 pull-ups, you could probably do 15 bodyweight rows.
Now, when you mentioned dips, what part of the, is that your triceps you're working out there?
Yes, but also your chest, because think about this, in the bottom motion.
I always wondered that.
Right?
Yeah, because you're...
It's working your shoulders, your triceps, and your chest, because if you sit, the deeper you go down, the more it stretches your pecs. So.
Right. Can I take a look at your stomach real quick?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Lift up your shirt. How do you get those muscles going?
And again, I'm not incredibly ripped, but
No.
I can see my abs. Yeah. Yeah. It's not like I'm chasing.
How do you get the abs?
Well, there's two different things, right? The first is, well, the fitness world tries to sell you this myth of like that you can target belly fat, when in reality it's just the last fat that's going to come off, right? Yeah,
that's
eventually, if you kept, but you're not that fat, right? You could still, there are many people who are in worse shape than right?
Okay,
so that's what I'm saying.
There's still progress I can make.
But guess what?
It.
If you lost 20 pounds of fat, which is not that, like, it's very doable.
How do I do that?
Through a caloric deficit.
So, okay, when you say caloric deficit, does that mean to cut down on the calories on a daily basis?
That means simply that you are eating less calories than you're burning every day. And you're burning calories just laying down in bed, right?
What about intermittent fasting? Does that come into play? Like just eating one meal a day, something like that?
Yeah, I would say that's under, like, you know, if the big meta goal is caloric deficit for getting ripped, then you're just looking at, how do I get there every day without starving?
Right.
You know, and so then you're looking at different options, like, for example, you would lose a bunch of weight if you only ate Pop-Tarts every day, but you ate in a caloric deficit. If you burn 2,500 calories every day and you ate 2,000 calories of Pop-Tarts, you would lose weight. Now, would you retain a lot of muscle? Probably not.
Because it's all sugar.
Yeah. Would
carbs.
You feel great? Probably not. Would you be hungry still because Pop-Tarts aren't very filling? Yeah. So the trick is, how do I eat in a caloric deficit while being full, while getting enough protein, while having enough energy to work out? And so that's where the tricks that I would consider, like intermittent fasting, is sort of a trick. It has its own separate health benefits, but part of that is just going, if I eat in a smaller window, then I can eat bigger meals and feel normal and just skip breakfast, essentially, right?
But it won't get me those abs.
Over time, it will. You know, if you commit to that, like, but here's the thing. You could intermittent fast if you're burning, like if your body through just functioning and exercising every day is burning 2,500 calories.
Give me like a ballpark estimate. Like, so what is that? What kind of meal would that entail? Like a cheeseburger or something and fries or something?
A burger and fries might be like 1,500 calories.
I'll be honest with you, all right?
Yeah.
I'm going to admit.
Yeah.
When I do eat my one meal, it's usually In-N-Out burger.
Okay. You could actually, if you're eating one meal a day, you could make that work. Like a Chipotle bowl could be like 1,000 to like 1,200, 1,500, like depending on what you put in there. Obviously, it's customizable, but like a one meal a day could be definitely put you in a caloric deficit, and you would eat a meal that would make you feel full.
You know what the thing is? The soda. I get refills on the soda pop.
So why don't you drink diet soda?
Well, so like Diet Coke will make a difference?
Oh, tremendous. Because
Diet Coke.
Do you know?
No.
Yes.
Really?
So you're going, I refuse to do that, right?
Yeah.
That is one of the biggest and most simple hacks, because I also.
How about this? Diet Red Bull.
Yeah.
Really?
Sugar-free Red Bull.
No.
Yes.
It makes a difference.
How many calories are in a zero calorie Red Bull or zero sugar Red Bull? I gave away the answer.
Zero.
Right. Now, I'm somebody who. I love fizzy drinks,
There's no calories in here.
There's no calories in here, so I can drink these all day long.
I lost weight. I noticed once I started buying those on a regular basis, I did lose some weight.
Yes.
Because I used to buy 6-packs, 12-packs of soda. Dr. Pepper, Pepsi, Barks Root Beer.
Yeah, and I had those all growing up.
I love that stuff.
So one of the principles that I really try to convey to people is, you're scratching this itch. What is the itch that you want from this thing?
I want the sparkling.
The bubbles, and a little bit of flavor. And you realize, if I'm not drinking sugar all the time, actually, like, I don't need all that sugar, right? Because you kind of get, like anything, like any drug, right? You know, when you're doing a drug, the next time, it's not going to be as potent, so you do more and more and more.
Right.
And when you're addicted to sugar, like, and when I was a kid, I was drinking soda all day long and had no concept that it was like, but you know, it's like a beverage. You just go, oh, I'm thirsty.
Yeah.
You don't even think of it as consuming calories. But if
you are.
Correct.
A lot.
So if there's,
that adds up.
Yeah, it could be 150 calories in a thing of soda, in a can of soda.
Yeah.
Which if you're eating... Like, I mean, easily I could eat, if you're drinking them all day long, 10, right?
Well, I could drink those all day. I don't gain nothing.
Well,
water weight,
that's fine. Like,
that's
this
fine.
Isn't
I'll
because
sweat that
this,
out.
It doesn't have, if it doesn't have any sodium in it or anything, or like, you're not going to retain any more water than the homeostasis that your body's already
right,
in.
Right.
Right. So you can do things to make yourself retain more water, but if you're everything else being normal, this won't make you gain any weight because there's no calories.
All right, I'm going to play devil's advocate. Yeah. Okay, so my new favorite drink is, can you hold that bottle up? Snapple Apple.
Okay.
Can you read the calorie contents in that, Chelsea?
200
calories.
100 per serving.
Right, and that's another trick they use is they go, oh, it's 100 calories per serving. There's two in the bottle, right?
So what's the reality of that? How many calories is in that?
That is just as much as a soda or more.
What?
Yeah, so...
But like, they market it like it's the best stuff on earth.
Correct. That's a great point.
They market it like it's natural, like apple juice or something.
Exactly.
But the thing is, it tastes so good.
They do, and all juices, unfortunately, do, like, we think of them as, you know, you have to learn to separate, like, the kind of language of healthy, organic, this, that. It's all the same as far as if you're trying to restrict your calories to lose weight.
Yeah.
Right? Now... Perhaps there is some benefit to drinking a Snapple versus drinking a soda. I don't know. I couldn't necessarily name it.
Be honest, though. That's sugar, right? That's sugar.
It's
sweet.
Yeah. And sugar is an inherently bad, I would say.
Fructose.
Yeah, this processed high fructose corn syrup type of
stuff. That's what that is.
Because you're getting that in a concentrated form versus something like,
fruit.
You know, yeah, if you ate that same calories from fruit... Here's what you would, if you ate 200 calories of fruit, you would feel more full because there's more volume to that food and
yes.
your body has to digest it and it knows it's digesting something rather than, you know, like making this pass through your stomach very easily and it doesn't really, it fills you up as long as the liquid is in there.
Right.
But you're also getting fiber from fruit, which is filling. So there's, and it's just, it's less of an insulin spike for you, which you also want. You don't want to be constantly spiking your insulin, which is another thing, like, for example, oatmeal. You want carbs that are lower on the glycemic index, and the glycemic index just measures, like, the insulin response that your body has.
Wait, how do you spell glycemic?
G-L-Y-C-E-M-I-C.
G-L-Y.
Yeah.
C-E-M.
I see, correct.
You say glycemic what?
Index.
What is that?
So it basically
that sounds pretty technical.
Yeah, well, it ranks all these different foods based on your body's insulin response to them. So what are, you know, people who are diabetic, it's essentially an insulin dysfunction, right?
You're
becoming insulin insensitive because your insulin's constantly being spiked.
Because
you know,
of sugar and
because
candy
of
bars.
Sugar,
yeah. And,
yeah. So, you know, you end up having higher blood sugar.
Yeah,
because
Five
you're
Dog
not...
from Tribe Called Quest died because of that.
Right. So
yeah.
It's a serious
diabetes.
Thing.
It's a serious thing.
Yeah, very serious thing. And part of the reason that we see it so frequently in America is because of our high sugar diets, you know.
Right, right.
And so something like oatmeal, just because you brought that up, there's this idea of like slower burning carbohydrates.
Well, what
you
are
know?
Those? That's a thing.
Things like oatmeal, things like yams, carbohydrates that don't spike your insulin and digest slower.
Yeah.
And like oatmeal has more fiber. So it's just, as I said, it makes you full for longer. Like people, you know, if you study two different groups, different breakfast items versus, you know, oatmeal versus cereal, maybe. I forget what the other group had, but like people who eat oatmeal, they stay full longer. Then you eat less at lunch or whatever. You know what I mean? You're not famished. So that's kind of the game that you're trying to play is like eating foods that fill you up for longer.
Yeah.
That's why like salads, people go like, you know, do you have to eat a salad to go on a diet? No.
No.
But the trick is you're eating this huge volume of food. You could eat a huge like bowl of salad with a light dressing on it that might be like 300 calories, and it like fills your whole stomach.
Or vinegar,
up.
You could substitute dressing
correct.
For vinegar.
Yeah, there's lots of ways to do like a really low calorie dressing that still tastes good. Like even like, a little bit of olive oil and like lemon juice or vinegar, you know, whatever it is, it gives you the taste you need that kind of like makes it palatable.
Right.
And you're just, the more fruits and vegetables you eat, the it fills you up and makes you feel like you're not like, like, oh my God, I'm so starving. You don't want to be battling starvation all day.
No, you know. So going back to how do I make my body into Bruce Lee again?
Yeah,
let's go back to the Bruce Lee body. What do you recommend that I do? Because I want to get cut. You know,
one of the most simple things you can do, you basically want like a caloric plan, right? And so this can be easily done. I always recommend the app. Like today we have,
is there an app on your phone?
Amazing resources, and people pay so much money for this stuff. So like, and you know, if you really want a coach or a trainer or like a, you know, macronutrient coach is like a big trend nowadays where you pay somebody to like tell you what to eat. My philosophy is kind of like with lifting, because it's like there's so much on YouTube. Now, getting a personal trainer is great, but like I would recommend first, before I take your money, you know, before you come to me and say, Mark, I want you to give me money. Like, I want to say, don't you want to empower yourself as much as you can? Maybe you look at it and you go, I can't do this by myself. I really need somebody telling me. But especially if you don't have money, so it isn't an option for you to like hire somebody, download MyFitnessPal. It'll allow you.
Is that an app?
It's an app by, I think Under Armour makes it, but it's
MyFitnessPal.
MyFitnessPal. And it's a real game changer for a lot of people because its primary function is to count all the calories that you eat. Like you can scan a barcode. This is
oh, you can calories, scan stuff.
But you
on
just
it?
Go, what's this? And it puts it in your app and stores it.
So you could scan that Snapple, Apple Snapple?
Correct. And it would just be on part of your diet. And it basically combines what your weight is today.
I'm about 142.
Okay. And it would say, what do you want to weigh?
135.
And, okay. So that's 7 pounds, for example. Yeah.
130, 135.
If you, so you, at the rate of, like, you could lose that super steadily, like over the course of like 3 months with like half a pound of weight loss a week.
Yeah. Half a pound.
And that really amounts to only like a 250 calorie deficit a
That's
day.
It?
Correct.
So because I cut out a candy bar and I'm good.
Or you cut out that roughly.
Oh God, it's so good though.
Seriously. Cause it can come down to things like that. Just as an example, because
it could be those minor details.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, People often think like, oh, I'm going to start this diet and it's going to be only chicken and broccoli 8 times a day.
Yeah, but then you're eating ice cream after. You know,
it can drive you to that. If your diet is making you binge, you should try a different one that incorporates foods that you still like every day.
Well,
you know, like,
my problem is I love candy still. I still eat Mambas and the high chews and M&M's, peanut M&M's.
If you had self-control over it.
Cookies.
And I love all that stuff, too. Yeah. Here's my secret is I don't put it in the house. You know?
You're more disciplined.
Right. Well, all you have to do, like, hey, go to the grocery store on a full stomach.
Oh.
Right? That's one little trick.
I always go on an empty stomach.
But you are.
I'll be honest. I bought three of those bad boys today.
Yeah, and that's
three
just something.
Three for $4.
I used to do that. Like, and there just comes a point when you really start measuring your calories, you go, man, what keeps bumping me out of this?
It's the sugar, man.
Right. It is the sugar because it's hyperpalatable. Yeah. Chocolate is sugar and fat. Now, you could say, all right, I can budget a bag of M&Ms every day. I can get in enough protein that I need. And if I'm only trying to eat 2,000 calories and I eat 1,800 of normal food, quote unquote, you could have the bag of M&Ms if it's 200 calories at the end of the day and still scratch that itch and feel like you're not cutting out all the foods that you want. It's just that you can't have the third bag and the fourth bag. And then the Sour Patch Kids on top of that, right?
Oh, those are good too. The watermelon ones, yeah.
Yeah, and I know what it's like to be, you know, there's
delicious.
A point also,
like
I know you're sober, for example.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, do drugs that often now, and in part it's because, like, weed was always something for me. I'd smoke weed, and almost I realized, I'm like, this is an excuse for me to, like, have the munchies. Like, I want to binge eat, and then, like, I'll go, I'm going to smoke weed, knowing that I'm going to want, like, I could be on my diet, and then it's like, part of your brain's like, you want to binge eat, don't you? I'm like, yeah, well, I'll just smoke weed first. Oh, surprise, I'm hungry.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
so how often do you smoke? Are you like a casual?
Yes,
smoke,
now I don't
maybe
do
once a month?
Because maybe even less than that, I'll take edibles too. I just.
But that's a different kind of high though, right?
It is.
Yeah.
And I just realize it's it's not super compatible with a fitness lifestyle. Yeah. And I've had times when I did, like, I'd smoke weed and go for runs, for example.
Yeah, like the Diaz brothers, they smoke. Yeah. They could smoke weed and do a triathlon and lift weights and stuff.
So I'm not saying it's impossible. I just realized, like, for me, it doesn't make me want to lift weights. I know some people have touted the idea that, like you go lift weights high. And I'm like, it kills the drive. Like, you want some aggression when you're lifting weights.
Do you listen to music while you do it as well? Like, do you have your walk? Your headphones on?
I often used to do that a lot. Now I don't.
So you just silent.
Because, or a podcast or something. But I don't require aggression. Like I don't need to, like, psych myself up. I rely on concentration. Now, you might need that for yourself, and I think it can really help. I always used music, like, before football games to kind of get myself in a psychologically
heightened
state.
Same thing with wrestling. Like, certain wrestlers, they have their headphones on to get pumped up. Yeah. Metallica playing. They're like,
but I think because lifting is so routine, after so many years, it's like, I'm just going in and doing it, and I can almost, like, compartmentalize.
Right.
Like, I can think about other stuff or whatever. Like, I just know what needs to be done, and I'm not fearful of it. And I don't feel the need. Like, I also kind of don't believe in the whole idea of, like, if you need to do that to lift a weight, you might not, that might not be a good weight for you to lift.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because,
like, a lot of times, you'll see guys, like, doing deadlifts, and it's like, if you have to, like,
scream and
psych yourself up.
They're making noises like that?
Yeah.
In the gym, they're doing that's pretty problematic, right? Because it's like they're making noises. Well, other people want,
and I'm seeing that in, like, videos.
Yeah,
I don't believe like, you know, because it really breaks your concentration.
Yeah,
like,
it's
to
disruptive.
Me, you should be going through it. Like, the safest way to lift, especially with squats and deadlifts and complex compound movements, is to go through a series of cues in your mind. Like, you want every rep to be the same as how you were warming up. I was watching this video today where this elite powerlifter showed, like, it's a video where he has the bar at his back and does a squat, then 135, and he keeps adding plates and showing every rep is the same at every weight.
Right.
Because he's so good at this checklist of mental cues. You put it under on your back, you take two steps back, you put your feet exactly like this, you go down this far, and
so
you know.
So technique counts?
It's so important for the compound movements, you know.
What does that mean? What are compound movements?
Compound movement is a multi-joint movement. So if I'm doing a bicep curl, that's a single joint isolation movement. But a pull-up is a compound movement because I'm contracting my bicep at the elbow. I'm also contracting my rear deltoid,
the shoulder joint. Yeah, the shoulder
You know, so it's incorporating
different muscles and
multiple
joints.
Muscles. Yeah, and the heavy compound lifts, we kind of think of, like, there's some basic movements that you actually could get very buff from very few movements.
Really?
Like, if you were to do, and I kind of think of these in terms of, like, the basic things the human body can do, really, like, as far as movements.
Yeah.
Pressing in this vector, in that vector, and in that vector, right?
What about the reverse, the curl? Like,
I'll get
doing
to that,
this. Okay.
Right?
Sorry.
The pushing, we can only, like, we can't push behind ourselves, and we don't do that in real life. So it's like,
so
standing
push,
press,
yeah,
right? If you had a barbell, you could press it this way,
so
you could
down,
bench
up,
press it,
yeah,
or you could do a dip, right?
Right.
That covers pretty much all the angles of pressing. You could change the angles in that range, but really it comes down to this, this, and this.
Right.
Pulling. You can do a pull-up or a pull-down. You can do a
row.
And then you can do a high pull like this.
Yeah.
Kind of like that helps, like in Olympic lifting, kind of like
doing
snatch.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like
right,
pulling
right, right, right.
up this way.
What muscle does that work on, like the inside of it, like when you do that?
Many muscles, and it will get your brachialis and your bicep. Like, your brachialis is the muscle that's in between your bicep and tricep, and then the back part of your forearm here, it all kind of connects into here. So, like the difference between a curl like this and a curl like this is that you're bringing your forearm and your brachialis into the movement.
How do you get this going? Like, all these great veins. You know? How do you get that going?
Good question.
Yeah.
Years of using my grip.
Really?
Because when,
like,
I do,
do
back,
mean?
For example, like, some people will use straps.
Yeah.
Like, to help us, but, like, I don't ever use straps. So I'm always doing as much grip work as possible,
mm-hmm,
right? And if I'm doing, like, a deadlift, mm-hmm, to work, like, you know, on a leg day, for example, mm-hmm, I'm still not using straps. I'm using my wrist. So over time, your grip gets progressively stronger if you are willing to use your grip.
Yeah. That's interesting, man.
Forearm curls, but you know what's funny is
that's really
kid,
appealing to me. I mean, I wish I had that.
As a kid, I wanted that too.
I want all the. Well, right? I get jealous when I look at your body. I get jealous. I'm like, dude, I want some of those veins.
Yeah, well, I think that, and that's another thing that comes along with leanness. And for example, like if you were to do pull-ups every day,
yeah,
you're really like what gives out like almost first with pull-ups for most people is your grip,
right?
You know, because you can't like this is the weak link in the chain. You know, if you're,
that's
if
interesting
you, just had,
you would say that because even in wrestling, right?
Yeah.
If I would have just worked on my, because wrestling's so much gripping.
Yeah.
If I would have just focused on that, like to add to my repertoire of training, yeah. I could have, it would have improved me as a wrestler.
Right.
Because I could have grabbed, you know, wrist control.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Neck,
yeah.
Yeah.
And it's
all
funny
that.
How you realize some of those things now, after the fact.
That's after the fact.
Yeah.
That and years like, later, yeah. I'm like, oh, man. Yeah. Like, because my dad, you know, rest in peace, he used to do that. Just he'd be watching boxing or a game mm-hmm. on the TV, and he would, you know, like those little,
yeah.
those little clinch things, those,
yes.
yeah, those little
yeah.
grip machine things.
Yeah, because it's like,
he'd
it's
be
like
doing,
doing
that all
it's
day.
Like doing push-ups in prison. It's like, you know, if you're doing 1,000 of them a day,
you're gonna
they're gonna add up.
You're
you
gonna
know?
And it's gonna make your grip stronger.
Yes. So anytime you're fatiguing a muscle, you know, then giving it rest and fatiguing it again, you know, the more cycles you can get in, and if you can only do it 5 times, and then your wrist is fatigued,
yeah.
Then you rest and you do it 6 times and then, you know, whatever it is.
Do you do personal training for, like,
I do, yeah.
And you work at a gym? Like, how do people...
No, I don't work in a gym.
But you're a personal trainer.
Yes. I used to work in a gym, like, when I first got certified and I realized I didn't like that because it's basically a sales job.
Oh.
You kind of, like, you know, people are coming in and you're like, so here's what's wrong with you and here's why you don't know how to work out and I'm the only person who can fix that.
Yeah.
And actually, I'll go to gym. If I sign up for a new gym, they offer you, like, a free personal training session. And so I take it and pretend like I don't know anything.
But, dude, you... I mean, all they have to do is look at your body and they'll
but
know what
trainers,
you're about.
These trainers usually, I'm not saying they're all shitty, but like, you know, the average trainer at a gym, like, I feel bad saying this, but they're just not that great. And
what makes you good? What makes you a good trainer then?
What makes you a good trainer, I think, is knowing your limitations. And I think that's something that I try to convey to people. I try to be aware of my expertise and go like, look, I know what works for me. I know these different styles of working out. I know I can bring you here. I know I can show you this, but I'm not the leading authority on everything.
Right.
And
the holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food. And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm not going to pretend I'm some sort of guru.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean? And so I think being upfront about that, like, and because more people approach me now, because my physique is more developed, even though like I might have had the same information at a time when like I wasn't working out as much or I was like, you know, only running and not trying to like look big or kind of like, you know, because there were times in my life where I didn't want to be muscular.
Yeah. Right? Like because, I was just curious, like what was your body like in high school?
My trajectory was.
Yeah.
It looked more like this. I was like 220 by the time I was 17 because I spent all high school bulking up for football and then like...
So you did play sports?
I did, yeah.
Did you wrestle?
I did, yeah.
You wrestled. You're like the star heavyweight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I did. I wrestled heavy even though I was like at the bottom of the weight for it because I was only like 215, 220.
Yeah.
But my little brother was about my same size and he was a couple years younger than me. I'm like, I'm not going to like beat him out for 215s and make him wrestle heavyweight. Mm-hmm. So... I would go up against these bigger guys, but as it turns out, a lot of them, there's some difficulty to wrestling like the really big guys.
Oh, yeah.
But if you kind of know how to wrestle like the smaller guys do.
Oh, the technique.
With leg attacks
and stuff like that. Yeah. Then it's
easier.
That
can be a huge advantage.
Huge advantage.
And just having the endurance, too.
Yes,
you know? So I got a lot of dudes by pin, like, you know, fireman's carries, and just
that was my move. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about the fireman's carry, the trick was I would shoot with this arm.
Yeah.
I would leave this up on purpose.
Ah.
Because if you leave this, it's like you're baiting them. Because yeah. They're going to underhook and try to.
Oh, stop. Yeah.
But what you do, the trick of this move is to clinch.
Yes.
So once they underhook this, you clinch it to your body as
right,
hard.
Yeah.
And that's the clamp.
That's a really good point. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter if you start there as long as you.
I would leave it as yeah. bait.
And you could go in, like, really. And I would actually, like, now that I think of it, I would go in for a high crotch. Like,
you could turn it.
Yeah. You could either go for the high crotch or the fireman. It's kind of like.
Yeah.
Whatever's available to
you.
But so I just say, like, yes, for through college, I was trying to get big. And then in my 20s.
Wait, what state? Like, just for context, like, is this
in California?
Like,
high school in Northern California and.
Northern, like, where? Chico? Like, what?
No, not that north. Oh. In Marin County, just north of San Francisco.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's where I played football and wrestled and even swam for a couple of years like, for high school. You know, stuff like wrestling and swimming, it comes in handy because if you take that and apply it to football and you can, like,
stamina
play. Yeah. Because
the swimming helps the stamina.
Oh, tremendously.
Cardio.
And, like, yeah, big carryover. Because everyone
cardio.
Would be like, wrestling's so tough. Oh my God. Now it was, but I was like, if you're coming from swimming, you do have this anaerobic capacity.
That, and that's a huge advantage.
Yes.
Because anyone's tough in the first 30 seconds.
Yes.
Get to the overtime.
Yeah.
And then you could.
And a lot of guys, like, yeah, just even the wrestling practice, like, the amount of volume that you do, it's very tough.
It is
because,
so crazy, yeah.
Yeah, you just waste a lot less time on, like, it's tough from the get-go, and you're sweating, and, like, you know, you're in a rest, like, we practice out of this, like, what are the portables? It was, like, the steamy, like, you know, just,
yeah,
you always
yeah,
remember,
yeah.
Like, how bad my skin
did,
was
did you
in the winter.
Did you have to cut weight at all?
Only when I was a junior, like, I did, like, 189s, and I was, like,
you know, cut
a few pounds. But then after, like, when I was wrestling heavyweights, I could actually, like, eat whatever
I
wanted.
I was so jealous of our heavyweight, because we'd all be cutting before a tournament, and then they're just doing whatever the hell they
want. I knew guys who were, like, a couple of my friends were 103-pounders. Like,
I was a 103.
Freshman.
I was a 103. I was
and
a 103.
Yeah, and it's funny how, like.
But I had to cut, like, from 115, 117 down to 103.
There's a guy I know now who is my friend in high school who, he's actually my height and is, like, probably 200 pounds, and he wrestled 103. Like, he was a late bloomer, but it was, like.
No, he wrestled
103? You'd look at him and he'd be, like, unbelievable that he wrestled. Well, yeah, like, he just, you could always, like. You can kind of see, like, certain people have, like, broad shoulders or certain signs where you're, like, you know, he would always be like, you'll see, I'm going to be over 6 feet tall. We're like, yeah.
Okay,
whatever.
Was he a lengthier fella, a tall fella?
Yes.
See, I hated wrestling 103s
that
were lengthy and skinny. Because
it creates this whole set of challenges.
It's a whole different set of challenges because you'd be shooting on them.
Yeah.
And then they would just kind of wrap up or roll, and then they'd put a leg right in and.
Yeah.
They would cradle you, or they would just, the lengthier guys, I did not want to wrestle.
Yeah. It's amazing how different, like, body types. But then there's
it matters.
These stocky guys. Like,
I love
those guys. Like, there's, I think of, like, those weight classes, like, 145 to, like, 160 or 70, maybe, like, you know, where is most of the male population going to be? Like, some of these weight classes are so dense.
Yeah.
And you just see some
that's
of these,
a
like,
tough weight class.
Yeah.
Tough.
You kind of see, like, a lot of the, like, specimens, you know what I mean? Because you could be, like, an animal in 145. You might not be the football star because you'd have to be, like, for your build or whatever, like, to really, like, because if you're also, like, 5'7", 145, you're not going to be a wide receiver, even if you're really athletic.
Yeah.
But, like, you would just see some of these guys where you're like, holy fuck.
Do you,
like,
still watch wrestling at all?
I like watching wrestling.
No, I mean, no, nowadays. Like,
You
watch NCAAs.
If it's
stuff?
On, I'll watch it. It's one of those things where,
I'm
like,
an avid fan. I watch it every night for hours.
Do you really? Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I'll
just
watch matches.
The Cliff Keen Invitational. I follow the Big Tens. I follow Iowa, Penn State,
it's one of the
Cornell.
Few, like, I don't even watch, and I played football. I don't really watch football like that. I used to back in the day, but now I'm like, ugh. There's so much to keep up on.
No,
I can put on any random wrestling match.
Wrestling
and be
has advanced. It's elevated. It's progressed.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a different ball game. Like the funk,
the
roll, like the way,
right, correct.
Even the takedowns away, people, like, back then, like,
it's insane to me how people get out of takedowns.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm like,
yeah. No, no, no.
I just
back
the way
then,
that they
we
fight,
would sprawl, right?
Yeah, you'd sprawl.
That's
and
your
then
defense.
You, like, you can the way that people don't concede the takedown to get to a stalemate is insane.
No, but now they don't even sprawl. They'll jump through their legs on top.
Right. Yeah, and I just mean like the creativity of how to get out of a takedown.
It's different.
Or end up like getting the takedown yourself as a guy shoots on you. It continually stuns me. And on the world circuit, like where you see, like, because I'll watch, like, you know, these
Gable Stevenson and
Jordan Burroughs and Kyle Dake and something like that, it's really, it's just such an impressive, like, athletic endeavor that, yes, I don't have to know who the guys are. I'll follow it, but I don't have to know who you are in order to be captivated by it. Because it's also really clear. With football, a lot of times it's like, unless you're focusing on two people in the play, it's like, you know what's the drama of the game is, what down it is and what the score is. But like with wrestling, it's every movement is the drama.
Even on the edge of the mat. I mean, that's even changed. The way people wrestle on the edge and then they can get a quick takedown, like getting your ankles at the very last second.
Yeah.
You mentioned Kyle Dake. That's interesting because he won the national championships in different weight classes.
Yeah, four different weight classes.
Four different weight classes. You know, shout out to Cornell, Nashawn Garrett, and Yanni, and all them. Diakomihalis, but how difficult, I mean, that must be very, very, very difficult.
It's insane. Just thinking about how, like, the best guys at my, like, I remember my friend won, like, the North Coast section.
Yeah, what section were you? Your Northern
North Coast section.
North Coast, so is that near Stockton, Modesto?
It was, like, it's on the coast, like, so it's, like, north of San Francisco, up to, like, the Oregon border, you know?
Oh, you're
like,
way up there.
Yeah, but, those are the people we'd wrestle, like, you know, it'd be, like,
No, because it's the same thing. I was San Diego section. Yeah. There's Southern section.
Yeah, and that's a really tough section.
Oh, yeah. The L.A., you know, even the L.A. sections are hard.
Yeah, so... because I know it differs by, like, I think, like, the top eight guys from San Diego probably go to, like,
it was
the state.
Back then, it's changed a bit. I think the top three, but back then in the 90s, it was, we do CIF, top six.
Okay.
Go to Masters. Yeah. Top four, go to state.
Yeah.
But you know what scared me? I'd wrestle a guy in LA Unified.
Yeah.
The guy would have a full-on mustache. Like a full-on, like a cholo, like he looked like a cholo, like he was a man.
In wrestling, and I'm like, appearance is so intimidating.
Yeah.
Because in football, you can like guys would like do things like you put on the face paint and you'd like, you know, put like the neck roll on and kind of, but like
the
with
mustache?
Wrestling, you're just like, that's the dude half naked and he looks like he's gonna
kill
me.
You know? He's a man. He's a man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I barely reached puberty. And I'm
there's no padding. Yeah. There's no, you know, face mask. Yeah. There's no like it's... there's nothing to hide behind. It's just like, this dude has, you know, hit puberty when he was 11.
Yeah.
And,
it was very intimidating.
Yeah.
They'd headbutt you.
Yeah.
And even their smell, like you would smell their deodorant.
Yeah,
like,
it's such
he smells
thing.
Like a man.
And I remember, like, I remember one of the things as you talked about before, realizing, like, in retrospect, I remember, like, that you're like, oh, yes, I could have been doing this the whole time. This guy came, you know, like, when you'd go to, like, whatever, you'd finish like your league and then you'd go to sections.
Yeah.
And like kids from other schools would come like wrestle with you. We had a guy.
Oh, from neighboring high schools?
Yeah. You'd all do the group practice.
To prep for the state meet.
So during one of those practices, this guy who was like the last person from our high school to place at state, he got like third in state or something.
That's
Christian
Huffield. That's great.
He was like almost borderline retarded, like. He almost like had like a sling blade thing going on. Where he's like, oh yeah, like he like seemed like a kind of like a dumb like mongoloid farm boy almost, you know?
And
like
those are the tough boys,
right? Like so, he's like, oh yeah, that's what I want to do.
This
right, like
in the wrestling
just like
van,
that,
yeah,
like this. he was the embodiment of a can of dip,
yeah,
you know. He wrestled so aggressively. Like, he wasn't technically skilled, but he would, like...
What do you mean
you'd
by
lock
that?
Up with him, and he would just, like, grab your neck and just shake the shit out of you. Like, everything was just, all, like... And you're just like, oh, my God! Like, you can't... But, like, you kind of almost... It taught me. I'm like, oh, you can do that to anybody, and I should have been using more just, like... straight
physical.
Up physical as a football player. It's like,
dude,
I could go and just,
I
like...
mean,
why not just go up to somebody and, like, push them?
Or headbutt
and,
them.
Yeah, like... everything should be done. Like,
yeah.
The other day, like, Brendan was showing me a move. Like,
I
want
to get
was...
to that, how you met that group.
Yeah. But I was just like, Chappelle will, like, you know, like, Chappelle will do this thing. Like, we'll mess around, and I'll do certain moves on him, and I'll try to, like, show him some of these basics. And Brendan, we were in Zoo, and, like, Brendan, like, did, like,
what's
a surprise.
Zoo? Is that a
Zoo
gym?
Culture, the gym, yeah.
Okay, shout out to Zoo Culture,
shout
the
out
gym.
To Zoo Culture.
Where's that, in Venice, or where's that?
Yeah, that's in Woodland Hills, actually, on DeSoto Avenue. It's in the valley.
Gotcha. Okay, so join today.
Kind of a hidden location. So we were there, and we're just messing around, and, like...
You wrestling.
I was like trying to show Chappelle something, and then Brendan comes up and like grabs a single leg on me, and the way he did it, that I was trying to convey it, I'm like, see Chappelle, like that's really, it's not about just like grabbing the leg, it's like he put everything into it and jacked it up so quick and just used the aggression that like, you know, you go, yeah, that's why you're an elite athlete.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's why you made it so far in the UFC or did so good in jiu-jitsu even.
That's interesting.
You're like, it's about this like malicious intent. It's not just about like, you know, great technicians are also great. And like Kale Sanderson, you saw how smooth he was with like the single legs, like the ankle pick essentially. Like that was like, he would just like.
Well, he was a freak too.
Yeah. I mean, but like, that's they so make funny it, you brought him up. They make it look because, so effortless.
Yeah. Cause you know? Kale was, I don't think he had lost a match in college for Iowa State, right?
He did not.
He was for Iowa State. He wrestled for Iowa. He never lost a match. Right?
Not a single match.
So he's the head coach of Penn State now. Yeah. But this guy's he was a freak. He never lost a match.
Athletically, yeah, because you just see like the smooth. When I watch him wrestle, I just think like just he would just like the way he gets you to like he gets you to move in a way that just plays. It's never like an effort. It doesn't look like it's a strenuous effort.
No, it was technique.
Yes.
You know what? He reminded me of, like, you know, like similar to John Smith, that low single technique.
Yes.
He did that in his own way.
Yeah.
But he had a different style. He had a different style.
But it's so good at it. It's like, because again, he's going up against, like you forget, as I was going
to
say before.
He went to the Olympics. I think he won a gold in the Olympics.
I always tried to. He did, yeah. And what's funny is like,
Yoel. He wrestled the Korean guy 1 year.
Yes, he
killed
did
the
Olympic
guy,
gold.
Yeah.
He lost like Yoel Romero, who's a fighter in the UFC.
Oh, yeah, for Cuba. Cuba.
Him,
for the Cuban guy.
In a world championship, I think. But like,
that guy's a
I think
freak
they
too.
Went 1-1 or something like that, like in different matches. But it's like, you know, it's just funny how it's like, yeah, the Chael Sonnen, you know, it's freestyle, which is slightly different than folk style, obviously. But like, I was going to make a point earlier about how these levels have got to win a state championship in California.
Dude, I was ranked second in the state.
No way.
Yeah.
That's so
crazy. I was
crazy.
Ranked second at 103 from Poway.
Yeah.
And I was set to win it.
Yeah,
and what happened at this? I've said this before, and I went to visit my wrestling coach.
But it is a funny little thing of like rankings and like
anything
can happen.
Yeah, that's
upset,
the thing. But
you know?
The thing is, what
but
happened?
But you obviously did something crazy to earn it. You know, the second place ranking.
No, well, the
ranking,
thing, I always choked at state.
Yeah,
I did good at sectionals, masters. I won. Yeah. It was when I went to state, a switch just turned off.
Yeah,
and I would just freeze.
Well, it is this enormous like my brother went to state and he describes like it's like. This fucking arena they have you in, and
it was in Stockton back then, the University of the Pacific back then.
Yeah,
I love this interview, by the way. What we've been doing here? This is just
good.
I'm having a great time with you.
Yeah,
but it just shows that I wish I would have focused more on the mental side,
right?
Because if I was mentally like that, going back to that one guy you were talking about, that freak. Malicious, just that toughness and that mental edge.
Yeah.
If I had that, I would have won.
Because he's imposing his will on
his
everybody.
Will and
but I know what you mean because like my first year wrestling, it was like, man, you are a nervous wreck. The first time you go wrestle, or at least I was, because I was like new to it, and it's like I'm going out and wrestling. I also was like, there was like a guy who was really highly ranked in the state, like in my county. So
was
I had
Clovis,
to wrestle him like
was he from
four
Clovis?
Times.
Or?
No, it was like he was from this like lineage of wrestlers. Just like happened to be
what
like
high school?
Marin Catholic.
Okay,
it's not a
gotcha.
Big, but
no,
it was
no,
just
no.
like, you know, his brother was like wrestling at ASU. And he was, Calvary Chapel's amazing. Mm-hmm. But like this was just a guy who like I had to wrestle over and over again. And I knew he was elite. And he had this like name brand, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, it's nerve-wracking.
Can I tell you an interesting fact? People don't know because I look younger than my age, but at El Dorado, it was an early tournament. Uh-huh. I beat the guy that ended up winning the state.
Yeah.
Broadman. I beat him in the finals of El Dorado. This other guy in the separate bracket, Stephen Abbas. And, you know, people who don't know who's Stephen Abbas, he ended up getting silver in the Olympics.
Yeah.
He ended up winning state and going to Fresno. He was
that's really cool that you were in that mix of things.
Yeah,
because
he ended up being a stud. Yeah.
Because
Stephen
it really,
Abbas.
Like, and so that tells me, like, you probably could have wrestled in college.
Oh, but I was so beaten that, because what ended up happening is I was in the stands at the end.
Yeah.
All those guys that placed, I had beaten all those guys.
Right.
And so afterwards, my coach was like, "Are you gonna do freestyle? Are you gonna?" And I was just like, "Nah, coach, I'm done."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just gonna say, So obviously you were doing so many things right, and you had the potential to.
It was my mind.
Right. Well.
It was my mind wasn't right.
The most basic element of that, yes, and you probably could have worked at that, but to do it for another 4 years or beyond,
well, that's an investment.
It's such hard work, no. And you're not with stuff like wrestling. It's not just the season. No. It's year-round.
And it changes in college.
Yeah.
That's
and
a
guys
whole
are getting
beast.
Better. Yeah, it's like now they're... It's one thing to be a state championship, which is...
And California is a big deal, man.
Yes.
Because there's only one tournament. There's only one state tournament.
Right.
A lot of these states have, like, different, like, Section B. Like, they have different...
Right. Or even
B,
it's
C,
like, oh,
B,
you're the state champion of Rhode Island. Cool. That's as big as my little county.
No,
you know,
California
whatever it
is one state championship.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. And so I'm just saying, like, to win that and then go to college where pretty much everybody else is like the state champion or whatever and compete against these guys. And that's all
states.
You're doing is like, you know, now you're in college and you're on your own and you, you know, can really, you have more facilities, like everything just gets escalated.
Yeah.
And you got to really be a psycho because
not
unless you're
that,
going into MMA, there's
yeah.
no money in wrestling.
Yeah, there's
you know
no,
what I mean?
Unless
so
you
the,
get an
the,
endorsement from
the,
like Cliff King
yeah.
or something.
And,
or,
yeah, so I don't know what the revenue model is now. I hope there's more shit, but like.
No, they don't
know,
make a lot of money, dude.
Yeah,
unless you go into coaching.
And I think in other countries, for example, like,
yeah.
From what I understand, like if you're in Russia, it's like you're just taken care of more. The amateur
right,
athletes are
right.
like, because they prioritize things like.
Look.
Yeah,
the time flew with you because I could talk another hour
uh-huh.
with you. I want to get to where. How did you link up with Brendan and Chappelle
yeah.
and into the podcasting and what you're
absolutely.
Doing now?
I'll summarize that. You
yeah,
know, try to make it succinct. So basically, I was introduced to Chappelle via a mutual friend, my buddy Todd Dorham. Like, my car had just broken down. I was borrowing Todd's car, and Chappelle needed it for a night to like. Go to a show in Ventura or something like that. Mm-hmm. So like I drove to Chappelle's, he drove me back to my house and took the car for the night. So we were like, just hung out in that little like 20 minute space.
Gotcha.
We instantly clicked over like music and stuff like that.
He's a great
and,
dude.
And
I
also,
love
I, you
dude.
Know, it's funny. I thought because of his name, I don't know why I thought he was going to be an Indian dude. Like,
really?
Like Chappelle,
oh,
Lakshmanadian.
Right,
like,
right,
why
right,
they
right,
just
right.
sounded Indian. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like big black.
Yeah,
just,
yeah, yeah.
You know, funny personal note. But we really hit it off immediately, and he wanted to work out with me. Like, you know,
for real.
But a lot of people will say that. They'll be like, I want to work out with you. I'm like, cool. Like, show up to the gym when I'm working out. And then he actually did.
He did.
Right? And he didn't have a car at the time, so there was like a series of months where he would like Uber every day just to work out with me.
So he was dedicated.
He was very dedicated, and also because of his athletic background, this is what I'll always praise him and other athletes for, is I have tried to, like, people want to get in shape, and I try to be generous. Like, I really like working out by myself a lot, like, or I can. It's enjoyable for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, oh, if you want to learn from me and you're my friend, sure, come with me. But you can't interfere with what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
What do you mean
you
by
can't
that? Don't talk.
Talk to me too much. Talking's fine, but like, if you're going to be on your phone, if you're like doing things to undermine the workout,
right.
if my workout takes an hour and suddenly it's 90 minutes or 2 hours with you, or you're going, we're supposed to meet at 9 and you're like, oh, hey, I'm putting my shoes on. And then 30 minutes later, yeah, I got to take a shit. And then, oh, I'm just I'm getting out the door. Like, I would have friends where it's like, bro, like, don't hold me up for 2 hours. Like, because when I decide I want to go lift, I'm out the door and I'm doing it.
Right.
And so just to paint a contrast to like Chappelle would show up. He'd be like, what are we doing? I tell him he would never complain. He would do everything I asked him. Like, he just had the athlete's mentality of like, you, because somebody has to be the coach, right? Even if we're both at the same skill level.
Mm-hmm.
If we both had the exact same training experience, it would just be like, well, who wants to lead the workout? Like, you could do it one day and I, but like,
right.
It just wastes time to sort of negotiate. Well, I want to do this. No, I want to do this. It's just like, I'm either doing what you're doing or you're doing what I'm doing just to make it the most efficient experience possible.
Right.
And it's better just if one person leads it or not. And Chappelle could lead me in a workout. It's
right,
just like
right.
He wanted to learn from what, you know, what I was doing. And at the time I was doing these really difficult, like, full body circuits because like I was just trying to get everything done in like in half an hour. So I like my workouts, and this is a good advice if you want to get ripped and you don't have a lot of time, start off with a mile run as fast as you can. Like, and I started off at like, let's say like 8 minutes, and eventually I got down to under six, like with a 2% incline. Mm-hmm. So like if you start off your workout with a mile, now you're not going to be as strong during the workout, but if you run a mile at like a hard mile as a warm-up, your heart rate's going to be jacked.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to go into this. And you can't leave it to the end because you're always going to skip it. Yeah. You say, yeah, I'm going to finish my workout and then run a mile. No, you're not. You guarantee you're
so
not
you
going to do that.
So you do the cardio first?
just for this style of working out, for like a HIIT style CrossFit. Yeah. So run 1 mile and then you're going to do 5 movements back to back to back for 3 rounds. And between the rounds, you can rest 2-3 minutes. But what you're going to do is pick either a pair of dumbbells or a barbell, or like at the landmine station where the bar is like attached into the ground, and you can do what I'm about to describe, which is do a pushing movement, a pulling movement, a hinging movement.
What's a hinging movement?
Like when you're bending over at the hips, like so, whoops, like a deadlift. Or
oh, gotcha.
You can do that on one leg. Yeah. You can do a kettlebell swing.
Yeah.
A squatting movement, which or a lunging movement, but something that basically focuses on your quads.
Mm-hmm.
That can be a goblet squat. That can be a barbell squat. That can be, you know, a jump squat with no weight.
Mm-hmm.
And then an abdominal movement. That gotcha. Covers your whole body.
Yes.
And then in 5 movements, and then you rest, do it again, rest, do it again. So, for example, if you had, you know, 2 dumbbells, you'd lay on a bench and go, boom, 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 I'm doing bench press.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm standing up and bending over and rowing them mm-hmm. to hit my back muscles. Then I'm putting them up on my shoulders and squatting to get my squat movement. Then I'm doing a Romanian deadlift where I'm bending over at the waist and activating my glutes and my hamstrings
mm-hmm,
for
mm-hmm.
my hinge movement. And then I'm laying on my back and maybe like holding the dumbbell out here and crunching upwards to get a weighted crunch movement,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Whole body.
There you go.
And then your heart rate's up the whole time. You mm-hmm. don't have to use a ton of weight. Mm-hmm. You just got to do the movements. And that will take about 30 minutes.
What?
And you might be on the floor afterwards the first time.
Yeah.
But you're going to get better. Now, a body weight one, for example, would be push-ups, pull-ups, right? You have the push and the pull, then jump squats. And then for your hinge movement, it's a little bit. You could do like romaine, like bending over on one leg like this.
If
you do this like 20 times,
mm-hmm.
stretch and come up, you'll actually feel a great burn in your butt and your hamstrings.
Right, right.
And then just some crunches.
That's
right?
It.
Full body circuit.
It's easier said than done.
Yeah. And a jump, like, you know, jump,
it takes discipline.
Jump squat. Well,
yeah.
Do 20 jump squats in
right.
a row and see if your quads burn.
How did
you,
so to end this interview, how did you meet the crew like Brendan and the rest?
Yeah. So Chappelle one day was like, oh, Brendan wants to meet you. Brendan wants to work out with you.
Really?
I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I want to meet Brendan too. We show up to Zoo Culture where they had gotten a membership, and it was like the only gym that like didn't enforce a mask mandate during COVID
because mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Bradley Martin was like, fuck this. Like, mm-hmm. And also they're not going to shut down. Everything
yeah.
was supposed to shut down. And he's like, no, people's livelihoods are here with filming content and stuff like that because they let you film content there. And so he's just said, fuck you to the city of LA. So anyway, we go there. Brendan's like, Chappelle's like, hey, Brendan, this is Mark. And we hit it off. We have a good workout. And I, you know, me and Brendan got along. And so we just kept working out together. But then I find out afterwards, Chappelle's like, oh, and I don't think he even admitted it. It just came out that like he surprised Brendan with me being there. Like they were just supposed to work out together.
Just...
And then Chappelle was just like, here's Mark.
Oh, wow.
But it worked out. Like,
yeah,
so,
yeah.
Chabot,
so you guys
instinct.
Got along right away.
Yeah, but we
He's
got along.
He's a good dude.
He's a very good
very
dude.
Very good
incredibly
dude.
Generous.
Yeah.
And just such a, you know, he's been such a positive
oh,
influence in my life. And
he grinds.
Yeah.
He's a hardworking dude.
He's a
grinder.
He's a great example for anybody.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
like, oh, you want to make it? Like,
he works hard, dude.
He doesn't stop.
He does not stop. I mean,
yeah.
he's got a whiskey now?
Yeah. You know,
he's got his own whiskey now.
And same with Chappelle. I always, like, uses him as an example of, like, he focuses on the things that he cares about.
Yeah.
He's not wasting all his time, like, you know, reading about pop culture. Like, people will always say on the podcast, like, Chappelle doesn't know anything because something will come up and he's like, oh, I don't know what happened with Kim Kardashian. It's like, and they'll try to come
right.
at him about things he doesn't know about. I'm like, do you know that's such a great virtue? To only focus on
the
things that
you care
about.
Exactly.
You know, music, comedy, his relationship.
And that's it.
And working out
yeah.
and playing the guitar.
And he skateboards too.
Right,
skateboarding.
So it's like,
yeah.
like that's a model to me of how everyone should be. It's
yeah.
like, take the things that you like, forget about everything else.
And just focus
and,
on that.
Yeah, and then get good at the things that you want to
exactly.
get good at. You know?
Yeah,
so.
You just got to spend time doing
yeah.
it. Right. Now, you do have a podcast as well, right?
Yes.
Can we plug your stuff? Your Instagram, your
yeah.
podcast. Oh, your gym. How does one get trained by you as well?
Well,
because I want to get
yes.
you some business there out there.
Yeah. And again, it's not like that's a huge part of my, like, if you really want to be trained by me, you can reach out to me And a lot of times I'll
through
go...
Through what? Through what? Yeah,
well, through Instagram, at Hella Mark Harley. My podcast is the Haters Will Say podcast, and it's basically, I give fitness advice, I look at gym fails, I try to keep it light and funny while also giving information about diet, nutrition, and different segments each week, and it's just me. Sometimes I'll have guests on, but really it's just me kind of going like, here's my spin on fitness and how to have fun with it and, you know, be motivating and not take myself too seriously. You can message me on Instagram. I try to go through and answer all the questions that I can. I do get a lot of messages, but like if you message me and like some people will be like, oh, I'll pay you for this. And I'm like, well, first let's see, like, can I just answer your question? Can I help you out? And maybe there's a simple answer to it. If you want to go beyond that and do online training or you live in LA and actually want me to train you, that's an option. But for the most part, I try to be generous with my time and expertise to go like, if I can point you in the right direction, I'm going to do that. And I'm not going to take any money for it because I want to see everybody be in shape. And there's so many resources online. I know it's just a big, like, you know, a difficult thing to navigate YouTube and find the right answers. But I do have some kind of shortcuts to be like, hey, you should be watching this person. You should check out this guy's page. You should look at this video for the question that you have.
Like, you could get that on YouTube too, right?
Buy a YouTube premium account. That's it. If you want to learn about fitness,
just do that.
Just start, you know, there's like five pages you could follow that would teach you almost everything.
Right.
You know,
now your name is spelled with a K and then the Harley is with
the H-A-R-L-E-Y.
L-E-Y.
Yes. Hella Mark Harley on IG,
like, and the Harley Davidson, like,
exactly,
like Harley Davidson with the L-E-Y,
exactly,
Mark with the K,
exactly,
and then same thing with your Instagram.
Yep.
Right, so follow him on Instagram,
please,
and
do.
Ask questions first,
exactly,
right?
Yep.
And then we'll talk.
And if nothing else, you know, I post a lot of funny memes all day, so
there you go,
to my stories.
And then you're, how do they listen to the podcast as well? Can you
On YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcasts.
And the name of it again?
Haters Will Say.
Because haters will say
a lot of crazy shit.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like your positivity, man.
Yeah.
So thanks again for tuning in again for another episode of the Stevie Wiebe Show. If you want to help support the platform, go to patreon.com/Stevie Wiebe, StevieWiebeShow.com for my website and the merch, StevieWiebeBandcamp.com. I just put like my latest thing. I know I did it months and like a year ago, but I Feel Stir Crazy should be on Spotify and all those other platforms by now. Instagram/QUANGOU. And I do have a P.O. box if you want to send any packages or mail. I haven't checked it in a while, but I'll go tomorrow or something. 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California 90093. Dude, it was a fucking awesome
experience
having
much fun,
you here. Did you have fun? It flew by, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, once we got into the wrestling.
Oh, yeah. I could talk to you about that for 5 hours.
Yeah.
That's all I watch at night.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Thanks. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
My buddy Skip is a trip, feeling blue like a crip. Framed for robbing a bank, letting loose from the hip. He really couldn't predict this grip, was so full of angst. Him and Henry Woodward Peckers did a song and dance at bit. Oh, rodeo man in the West, you can. You're the best on the land to bless the sands. Do the bull with your hand, oh Skip, you can. Get that fucking bull, pull on that rope. Feeling stir crazy, maintaining against the grain. Making me wanna get in a plane. The pain inside my brain never ends, sustained. I'm down for the...
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Count on the ground freight train.
Living today, don't give it away. The peace and the praise, the rays. Shining it down to mightiest crowns, the finest of thrones delayed. Skippy's afraid, he feels betrayed. Live this way, can deal with shade. His spade, he made the greatest blade in a charade of pain. I am not a man, I am an animal of mail. I live by maritime, the law of water about to sail. When my mother had me, I slipped out of her canal. What you call a sailing ship is named after a female.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.